Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we've altered in thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. And this is a show I call it a makeup broadcast. Last week I was simply interrupted, and I wasn't really done with the teaching that I wanted to give to you for the broadcast, for the broadcast Midnight Breakthroughs. And you know what happened? During the week, the Lord gave me some additional revelation. I know he does that when he gives us time to reflect on his word. There's some additional revelation that God gave me. And so in a way, it was there is a positive in all of the negative, and I will be ministering on this subject today, both today, which is Saturday, and tomorrow. Who knows? I might start a new practice where I broadcast both on Saturday and Sunday, time permitting. How about that? Well, the theme for scripture for this program is this, and it's 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, now we see things imperfectly, puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. This is a New Living Translation of this text. You know, I say, and I'm moving quite fast today, that motivationally, I do this broadcast to exhort anyone that might be having a hard time, that might, where your faith might be challenged in any area of your walk. It could be something on your job. It could be something in your relationship. Something in your marriage, in your home, that could be challenging, some event, some situation that could be challenging your faith. And I come to tell you today that whatever it is, whatever the size of the problem, be it big or small, my testimony to you is that keep living, keep walking by faith, because God has those answers hidden for you. Because like the scripture says, we see imperfectly when we are in these situations. There's dark glass, there's drama, there's problems, there's misunderstanding, and you know, there's no communication, and people tend to fail in those kind of vacuums. You know, it's dark already. There's no way you can see what God is doing. And so it's like a partial kind of spiritual blindness when you can't understand a situation. And flesh fails in those type of situations. I'm a living witness. I failed. Others have failed. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. I've seen people fail in those kinds of situations. You're in a dark glass situation. There's tension. Intensity, there's stress, there's, you know, all kinds of things going on. And yet, someone is not seeing clearly. That's why, because they're still in that stage where they're not seeing God clearly. And don't tell me that you don't see God clearly. I mean, I do it. I know everyone does. Why? Because the scripture says so. Sometimes we speak and we don't understand what's going on. And it might be unintentionally, but we fail to understand. Sometimes there's no communication that causes situations to intensify with stress and anger and defiance. Because why? That glass is still dark. You can't see what's going on. Others can't see you. The heart is not revealed and so forth. And so even though we may be endowed with the Holy Ghost, there are still times that God has our vision is obstructed. Why is just a part of the process? I mean, it's like a baby. I mean, if every time a baby cried and I mean, when you're a baby, of course, when a baby cries, you know, God will provide for that baby because it's a young baby and there's no that child is unable to provide for itself. But as that baby grows older, then that baby is able to do for itself. And then God does not have to spoon feed that baby as much. So we as believers, we have to rely on God. We really do. We have to really engage our patience and our faith in God himself, in Jesus Christ himself, and the word of God. And sometimes God will obstruct our visions. I have been walking with the Lord since January 2, 1987. I have situations now where I'm just now seeing what God said to me previously. So it happens. Yes, it does. It does happen. Even if you're a mature believer. But he's promised that sometimes when our vision of him is impartial and incomplete, as it says here in 1 Corinthians 13:12, that there is a time that we will know everything. There's a time that God will give us clear vision. Amen. All right, I'm going back to the scripture here, and I will complete this tomorrow. Of Acts chapter 16, I'm starting at immediately at verse 9. And it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a Macedonia stood, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Here is Paul having a vision. You know, I always say, you know, oh, if I just had a vision, if I had a direct word from God, I could do what I need to do and get it over with. Well, here is Paul with a vision from the Lord. He knows it's a vision from the Lord. And there's someone pleading for help in a certain region. And verse says, now after he's seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now have they, you know, the disciples, Paul and Silas, they have clear vision now. Because, I mean, if you look at verse 7 and verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You see, you know, they had wandered there, but God said, no, you're in the wrong place. I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to go to Macedonia. And so they're at the place now where they are not permitted to speak or do any work in that region. And then God gives them a vision and tells them the proper place. So you see, they didn't see. Their vision was obscured for a moment, and now they see their clear path. And sometimes I can be so, you know, maybe just as bad when you see your clear path, and you go on that clear path, and then things start happening, as it did here when they arrived at Philippi. Verses 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. Now, you understand, it's a straight course. No obstructions, no obstacles, no people to fight with to get there. They went straight there. I know if that were me, it would be all the more encouraging that I did not incur any obstacles in my path. I've been traveling. I have been walking with the Lord and had a vision of a clear pathway. Sometimes it's a sidewalk. Sometimes it's a highway. I've even had a clear vision of a aisle the aisle, a middle aisle in a church. It was unobstructed. And so plenty of times God has given me a vision that you're going in the same path, you're going in the right pathway, just keep going. And I've been given visions like that. Open sidewalks, open highways, and open aisles as such. And then it said, let me go down to verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. God is concerned about the city. God wants those in the cities to be saved, to be delivered. He's sending his disciples into a city, a major, you know, city, Philippi. And they stayed there several days. And in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. You see, they were about the Father's business. They were doing what he said. They had a clear path, apparently, to do the works which God had sent them to do in this city. All right. And in verse 14, it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, Tyra, who worships God. Well, here she comes, they come upon another woman who is also a fellow believer, a fellow worshiper. Oh, that's easy. That's easy when you're in a city. You know, you encounter all types in a city. But we find a woman that is worshiping God. And it says in verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So you see, she's not only a worshiper, she's hearing Paul as he speaks the word spoken by God. you know, that in and of itself sometimes can be an obstacle. Sometimes we as believers don't take heed to what other preachers may say or prophets may say. They turn a deaf ear. You know, they have itching ears. They don't want to hear. That was not the case here. This woman clearly had a heart to receive God and opened her heart to Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. They were welcome in this region. It doesn't say that they had any prior affiliations in that region. But they were in right association with this new, with these new people that they had met, this woman who wanted them to come to their house. So they were in the will of God. They were apparently in the will of God. And they were doing what God told them to do. Everything was fine. In verse 16, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." We have to be discerning. That's why God gives us the Holy Ghost. Sometimes someone can be praising God, calling out the name of Jesus, and you know the spirit on them is a foul spirit or a spirit of error. And I've seen this like in church when people are praising God. I knew that, it, you know, by the Spirit of God, and some of them, not all of them, they were doing it to be seen rather than to, you know, the true heart of a worshiper. You could see the difference as you gazed upon them. You see, the discernment is working, and you can tell. Now, just like this woman, Lydia, she was saying the right things, but her heart was wrong. Her motives were wrong. Her heart was wrong because she was doing it for the wrong reason. She was doing it for, you know, as a result of being possessed by this demonic spirit, which caused her to bring her masters much profit by fortune telling. She wasn't doing it by the name of, by the Holy Spirit. She was doing it by another spirit. Yeah, it may have been correct. It may have been a familiar spirit, but it was bringing profit to these masters, and it did not give glory to God. She said in verse 17, and clearly the scripture said in verse 16 that it was by fortune telling, and it brought her masters much profit. So the very word of God coming from her lips was profiting. Now, what's the difference? Well, if you're not giving glory to God, like as a prophet who asks for an offering after you render the word of preaching, then you're not giving God glory. You're not giving Jesus the glory. Then you have another spirit has come in, and you're profiting someone else. You're giving glory to your own ability to give out this information, and not God, not the spirit of Jesus. And it says that this girl followed Paul enough, this is verse 17, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." She had it right. It was just about where it came from, who was getting credit for it, who was getting paid for it, and where was God if he was getting the glory, and Jesus Christ if he was getting glory. And she said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And in verse 18, "And this she did for many days." Well, after a while, I guess after a while, Paul and Silas probably heard her saying this and say, "Oh, you know what? She's okay. She sounds like she's proclaiming the truth. I have no problem with it." A lot of times we get, you know, thrown off when somebody is overdoing it. You know, something's overdone. You may be praising the Lord a little bit too much, up and down the aisles, everywhere. You know, I've seen that spirit. I had a situation where I was in a church. There was an older woman. This wasn't a young woman now. This is an older woman. She got up and started praying to the Lord. It was during a prayer session. And, I mean, she walked the aisles up and down. And her prayer was so loud it became a distraction. You know, when everyone's praying quietly, her prayer became a distraction. It became an irritation in my spirit. I know what it was. And this woman, I looked at her, older woman, And then she was not dressed in a chaste fashion. She had on tight clothing. And while everyone had their head bowed, they had to look up and look at her. And so she was a distraction to the prayer that was going on in that church. That's when you know something is wrong. And their spiritual grief, they didn't say that they, you know, detected it by the Holy Ghost. They began to be grieved. Sometimes someone can do something in spirit and just grieved, and you look around and wonder why. And so this young woman had simply overdone it. She had been forecasting the same thing over and over for many days, it said in verse 18. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came, listen to that, and he came out that very hour. It was a demon causing that woman to keep doing that. She was getting attention. The people probably noticed it. Said, oh, yeah, these men are performing miracles here. They're praying, prophesying, and doing miracles, signs, and wonders. And it is God. Okay, she knows what she's talking about. And people were probably picking up the money, going in the opposite direction of Paul and Silas. They weren't giving that money to the work of Paul and Silas, the church, as it were. They were going somewhere, giving it to these people they did not know in Philippi. But it was a demon, because it says, and he came out that very hour. That was in verse 18. In verse 19, it says, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. You see, sometimes when you're in strange places, you don't know what you're doing. Sometimes you do. But when you are irritated, authorities that have been set in place with the presence of God, your presence of God and the gifts of God that you've been given, the very first thing that sometimes will happen is you will be ejected from that situation, from that city. Because God is there. Corruption may abide there. But when you come and bring your gift and your preaching, or whatever it is God has called you to do in that city, Satan wants you silent, especially if you are interfering with maybe the political authorities of that day, the corruption that's going on in that day. You're interfering with their gang. You will be attacked. Even that's true in the modern day setting. And here they are trapped. Because if one of God said, he out of that woman, and that prophet began to leave left. She didn't continue her dark work of fortune telling by this demonic spirit. She had to stop. And so as her credibility left as a fortune teller, then she was no longer any good to these masters. I suspect not only masters, it doesn't say the church, it says the masters. Maybe these were, they said she was a slave girl, so she belonged to some slave owners. They were probably politically endowed in some way with political power, and they interfered with what these political people were doing in that day. And when you interfere, you might have to suffer. And this is where this dark glass, this dark situation is beginning to brew and come upon them, you see. This midnight situation, or this midnight challenge, if you will. This is a midnight. You can't have a midnight breakthrough until you have a midnight, you know. You really can. It's a midnight thing. It's very, very dark. Midnights are very, very dark. There are things that I've thought about in the midnight hour that almost just, but for God himself, drove me mad. And when I woke up the next morning and saw the same thing, it did not have that same effect. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. It certainly happened to me. But this is a midnight hour. Here, persecution is a midnight hour. And it says that when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Okay, so they seized them. And dragged. How'd you like being dragged? That's a midnight event, being dragged anywhere. A midnight event, they're dragged into Philippi in the marketplace before a whole lot of people. And they're dragged to the authorities. Now we're going to the court. Oh my goodness.
went away, further persecution, if they go into a courthouse. It says that they brought them to the magistrates and said, see, you know what I'm saying. These masters were connected. They were connected to the judges, to the magistrates. They have some authority and some power. That can be midnight. When you have a judicial system that's corrupt, that's a midnight situation. And it's then they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city. Well, they didn't. What happens is, you know, they're lying. They're the prosecutors in that day. They're lying. They're falsehood. How are they troubling the city? There's no evidence of that. What they're doing is troubling your pocketbook. And that's what happens when persecution comes upon believers that are doing what God said. You're interfering with the mass darkness in the heavenly. And you're interfering with what is doing. And at that moment, people are losing their money. They're losing what they have gained, and they're losing it because God said, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that situation where people aren't able to get what they need. I mean, because, you know, these are slave masters. So they're the only ones making money. They're the only ones gaining in situations. They're the only ones that have justice and victory in the courthouses. God says, I'm tired of that. There will be a time where God will come and correct those very situations. And so I want to quote just quickly here, Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wit in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. You see, they were in an evil day there. Excuse me. There was a midnight situation coming upon them. It might not have been dark outside when they were brought before the authorities in the marketplace in Philippi. It was getting dark spiritually, though. It was getting dark when they dragged them into the magistrates, into the court system, and accused them of falsely of troubling the city. In verse 21, they say, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Well, in fact, they were. They were Romans. And then Paul and Silas were Romans themselves. I believe Paul was a Roman. But in any event, what were the customs? Let me look at the customs. I got to look that up. The customs were to keep, and I'm going to verse 4 of Acts 16, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. That's all they were doing. That's all they were doing. They were teaching what God had told them to teach. And they were trying to convey that message to Paul and Silas, all right? And so they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And midnight was coming upon them fast. It was advancing fast. And it said in verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them. It's bad when some slave owners rise up against you. But then this was a great multitude of people. It didn't say great. It said a multitude of people that came against them, apparently. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. You see, the magistrates didn't care to hear the evidence of whether they were guilty of these charges or not. That's a corrupt system. Proceeded to do just as these slave owners had told them or asked them to do. They not only beat them, they took off their clothes and beat them. And they were beaten with rods. I don't know what the rods are, but it doesn't sound good, okay? Doesn't sound good. It said they were beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secured. So they here they naked, stripped naked in front of all these people. They were beaten severely with many stripes,
And then with these rods, whatever they were, severe beating. That's what you call assault and battery. Aggravated assault in today's criminal system. Aggravated assault and battery. And then they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to keep them securely. Not only beaten, but thrown into the prison. Nobody knows what the punishment was for their act. Well, first of all, they didn't do anything wrong. Secondly, here is an unjust punishment being imposed. Innocent men being found guilty. Do we know about that today? Of course we do. And so, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. Here they are. These are innocent men being put into a maximum security facility. And being their limbs being put in stock. So they wanted to make sure not only did they not go out to Philippi or escape out into Philippi, but that they did not even move around the prison. You know, that's what happens when believers have influence in the earth. They fear their influence. They fear their popularity. And in that way, that was the reason why they attempted to restrict who they talked to and where they went. And so it was a very dark, dark situation. And let me read some of my tags, and then I'm going to end the program. It says, dark midnights are caused by Satan. After we've had a clear word from God, midnights come to challenge our assurance that we've heard from the Lord. Midnights grow darker when there's persecution for doing what God says to do. Midnights are filled with persecution and sudden tests and trials which war against us. Midnight situations can cause doubt and fear. Midnight situations come to challenge our association. And so there is this midnight situation at this point. And so what I'm going to do when I start the broadcast again tomorrow, I'm going to come right back here to this ending, and I'm going to talk about then the midnight breakthrough, because we've seen some of the characteristics of a midnight experience. But what I want to drive home to you, and this word will drive home to you, is that if you have a midnight experience, then you're destined to have a midnight breakthrough. Because God has promised that he's going to deliver us from anything that's not him, any bondage, any persecution. He's faithful to deliver us. And so when I end this program, I'm ending it now. I'm ending it at the very helm, at the very height of this midnight situation where they've been thrown in to this inner prison. They've been shackled and after they have done what God has told them to do here in this city of Philippi. Well, thank you for listening to this broadcast. I will certainly post it on my Facebook page as a link. Thank you for listening to the broadcast again. You may go to the link at thinkclearlyinthedark@gmail.com if you have any prayer requests, if you have questions about the broadcast. You may go to also blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders if you wish to listen to this episode another time or any other broadcast there listed on the show page. Well, once again, thank you for listening to the broadcast, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.